We're going to narrow our focus today to think about the false teachings that are especially related to Jesus Christ, and not just Jesus's divinity, but our Savior is both God and man, fully God and fully man, and along with the Trinitarian heresies historically, there have also been heresies that relate to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And in a sense, there's nothing new under the sun. There are heresies that are historical, like the two that I mentioned last week for the Trinity, modalism and monarchianism. And I'm going to give something of a history lesson today, but I want you to keep these in mind as we think about the modern cults that we dialogue with today, because in the teachings of these modern cults, you'll find these old heresies, especially in regards to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to do something visually as well, so that you can think about and remember some of these different teachings. And this I can email to you if you'd like to have this in visual form, and I'll print it out. See if JD, if you could be my lovely assistant, just hold it there like this. Very good. Is that okay? Okay. Okay. When we think about the person of Jesus Christ, there are some important passages of Scripture that bring together the divinity, the humanity of Jesus Christ, and one other aspect is the unity of the person of Jesus Christ. You might think of John's first letter and how often he talks about the confession that we have of Jesus Christ. The confession is that Christ has come in the flesh, that the Anointed One, that God has been made in the flesh, and that this confession is given to us by the Spirit of God, and that this is how we know that we have the truth, is that we confess this. We have Paul's confession that there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all, the testimony born at the proper time. That brings together humanity and deity, and then what I'm calling the unity of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to represent that visually in something of a graph by thinking of I'm not a very good writer on the board. I'm going to put use my finger. Dr. Epstein would kill me for that. Don't use your finger for that. D for divinity, H for humanity, and U for unity. There we go. And we're going to think through some of the history of teachings about this, because when Satan wants to confuse people, thanks Vinny, that's perfect. That's the tool I needed, not my finger. One more. What happens in these different cases, you'll notice a pattern as I start to talk through these. I'm going to start with a group called the teaching Ebionism, and said it's something of a history lesson, because when we as we look at this, the Ebionites were very early heresy about Jesus Christ. We don't have a specific date for this. The Ebionites were a certain sect, a certain gathering of believers, a certain gathering of individuals that latched on to a false teaching. And it was a Jewish sect that said that Jesus possessed unusual gifts, but he was still just a man. In other words, they completely denied that Jesus was God at all. They said, yeah, sure, he's a man, and we'll put a yes here for human, and for what he was all human, so the unity of who he was okay, but he was not God in any shape whatsoever. He was just a man, and the Ebionites taught that he was in this way.
So what does unity stand for?
We'll get to unity means that the humanity and the divinity of God is either so separate that he has a split personality, or so mixed up that the divinity and the humanity are confused and not distinct. So, and we'll come to some examples of that in just a little bit. Oh, the Ebionites denied that Jesus was God at all, and there are you may meet people today that will say, yes, Jesus was a good man, that he was maybe even a prophet, but that he was not God whatsoever. And the Jews would teach this, the Muslims would teach this, and sometimes just the average person on the street who thinks that Jesus is just another ordinary individual. Next, and I introduced this group last week, Arianism. And this was taught under the Trinitarian heresy of monarchianism, or the monarch, thinking that God the Father is the one God Most High, and that Jesus Christ possesses certain divine characteristics, but is not part of the triune Godhead. And so what we'll say about that is that they have a defective view of Jesus' divinity. They say, yes, he's human, and there's unity to his person. If you wanted to put a date on Arian, Arius, you put down the date 325, because this is when the Council of Nicaea met and gave definition to some of the doctrines of the Trinity especially, and they testified that Arius was teaching a false view of Jesus Christ. And that's an important date, 325 AD in the Council of Nicaea. For a modern day example of this, the Jehovah's Witness has this type of view of Jesus Christ, that He is a God. He is has divine characteristics and is the highest created being, and can appropriately be referred to as God, but is not the God. The next on our chart will be docetism. They believe that Jesus is fully God. That's a good start, isn't it? Jesus is fully God, but how could God be man? Oops, not defective. Where's my tool? There we are. They denied completely that Jesus is human. And since God is God, the unity issue is not one that they question. They taught that well said. Jesus' body was an illusion, that God cloaked himself with an illusory form so that it would look as if he was a man. And there was like Ebionism, there wasn't an organized sect here, or Arianism. Docetism was a philosophy and was something of the grew out of some of the dichotomy that the Greeks thought between the idea that the spirit is good and that the physical is bad. Yeah, that, you're good historians. You put the name on that. It's Gnosticism, and it's played out in the Christian world in a specific philosophy towards Jesus Christ, a heresy that says that since the physical is bad, how could Christ, who is God, be in contact with something that's bad or evil? And so the teaching about Jesus Christ is docetism has that influence of Gnosticism, and is something of a it comes through in John's letter to the churches when he says that we confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that he is genuinely human. Danny? Maybe our catechism is docetist. Is our catechism docetist? Yeah, catechism says that one of the miseries, or the way Danny said it was, it's one of the miseries of this that Jesus endured. Let me give a minor correction to that. The catechism asks, what is the humiliation that he endured? And our catechism doesn't identify the flesh as bad, but it does identify Jesus' incarnation as glorious, but a humiliation for God to be made lower. Philippians chapter 2 talks about Jesus taking on the human nature, and that is a lowering of himself. So lowering we would not equate as being evil or as being bad. So so if anyone says our catechism is docetist, you can answer them. The next is Apollinarianism. And this one has a historical setting. From the 4th century, a man named Apollinarius. He got something named after himself. Yeah, everyone wants to have something named after themselves, especially if it's a false teaching, isn't it? Okay, you might start to see a pattern here. Yes, Jesus is divine, and his unity is fine, but a defective view of his humanity. Here we have denied defective, denied defective. So Apollinarius would have some of the similar teachings of Gnosticism. They would say that Jesus Christ is genuinely divine, but they didn't take the complete human nature. He only took on its flesh. And the distinction that this man made was that the human soul, or the rationality of mankind, was replaced by the divine being, by the second person of the Trinity. So they've wiped out part of what makes man man, is that we are body and soul. And like Invasion of the Body Snatchers or something like that, Apollinarius said that the soul was of Jesus Christ, the man was replaced by the divine nature. The church responded to this by saying, "What is not taken is not redeemed." And that's an important point for us to come back to, is to see that the necessity of our Redeemer being fully God and fully man is important to see. So that Jesus Christ as fully human genuinely does take our place, and genuinely it does purchase redemption for us. Okay, next we have somewhere in here would be teachings today that are coming out a lot in things like the Da Vinci Code and the Gospel According to Judas. You may have read about that in the National Geographic or seen a special on TV about these. They speak either of, for the Gospel According to Judas, we were talking about this Wednesday night at our home group, and Alan was saying that the Gospel According to Judas is that Judas understood that the body was evil, and that what Jesus really needed was to be set free from the body, and so did what Jesus knew must be done, that Jesus must die to be released from his body, and thereby have the glorious nature to be released. And so they would fall it probably in the Docetism type of view. I haven't studied a whole lot on that. The next is Nestorianism, and a guy named Nestor. Yes, Jesus is divine. Yes, he is human. Actually, he's both. And he's both in... my denied and defective both start with D, so... this teaching believed that there were literally two separate identities, two separate persons in Jesus Christ, both the divine and the human. And the reason why this is condemned is because of the it says something false about the beings that God has created, both the divine being and the human being, to be brought together into one body is not genuinely human. You can argue that it is, but to have two separate personalities living in one body is just not right. and it does not fit the scriptural the teaching that God has created mankind, that is breathed the breath of life into us, so that we are a living soul, the singular aspect of this. And the Council of Ephesus in 431 A.D. Spoke against this teaching that had arisen, and it too talked about the divinity, the humanity, but then especially identified the single person Jesus Christ that is fully God and fully man, that there's that there aren't two people. And the final error, final part of our history lesson is Eutychianism. Yes, defective. I'll move this over now so that JD can look at it. So, here, like I said to Jonathan earlier, in the unity side of things, here is a split personality, two genuine persons combined in Jesus Christ, divine and human. This one blends the two, so that what has resulted is not really God and not really man. It's almost, in fact, I didn't read my chart well enough. Yeah, that's what happens, isn't it? If this is blended, then it's not really God and it's not really man, is it? So it's defective in all three counts in regards to who Jesus is. And that one nature that Jesus has is, for lack of a better term, a fusion of the divine and the human. And the Council of Chalcedon in 451 one of the errors that it especially addresses in the Council of Chalcedon is this error of the blending of the two. And the discussion of the Council of Chalcedon talks about what it means for Jesus to be begotten but not made, and the nature of Jesus Christ is both fully God and fully man. Each of these has descendants in the world today, and we will be touching on them as we dive in next week, more specifically to start thinking about how to minister to specific false teachings and specific cults today. That's it's a fun history lesson, and you can read some more about the errors as well as their responses. And if you'd like my printed form, you can ask me for that, and I can email it to you. With that, I'll ask you to bow in prayer and to thank God that we have a true Redeemer that is our representative. Let's pray. God, we thank you that there is one mediator, one God, one man, Jesus Christ, that is our representative and our Savior. And Lord, as we seek to witness and testify in a world that is full of confusion, I pray that not only would we know our history well, but I pray that we would know our Redeemer well and be able to speak to those who are tangled up in false teaching, that be able to speak in ways that that do testify to our Savior Jesus Christ. God, may you use us to to be a witness to those in cults, and may you use your word and our witness to save sinners out of those teachings. In Jesus' name we pray.